shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. So you guys, while you were, you know, doing your thing during the break, we're talking here about television.
I can't believe what you said about The Wire, though. That's the most dumbest thing.
Now, why don't you like The Wire?
Now, before we get into discussions of The Wire or anything else, all I said to Dan was, and if I sound like a dumbass, I'm probably sounding about as dumbass as most people. I know that it's my job, being a member of the media, to stay a little bit more up on what's happening in media, but I cannot possibly stay abreast of everything that's happening in terms of new television shows. It's enough to try to stay abreast of what's happening when the movies come out. My favorite form of entertainment, if you want to get right down to it, are movies. Secondly, documentaries. Thirdly, really, 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 really well done TV shows. And I'm here to tell you, bud, The Wire ain't one of them.
Oh, man. Are you? That show's a fan. You know, if I told half the people out there that what you said, they'd laugh until they peed.
Well, I guess there's going to be a lot of people peeing. I'm telling you, The Wire was the biggest disappointment of my life. People talking about The Wire. Let me tell you why The Wire was big with a lot of people. The Wire was a big show for people whose only frame of reference was Miami, whatever the hell, Miami CSI, those shows. New York CSI or whatever. If that's your only frame of reference for a good cop show, then yeah, The Wire was probably really good. But The Wire, first of all, right away, man, when you turn on The Wire, all these cops look like they're right out of GQ. That's going to blow it for you. The cops look like that. If you're going to show me a cop show, will you show me a cop show? Or what are you trying to tell me here?
Well, yeah, it's a cop show, man. But, I mean, you got to have good-looking people. Nobody's going to want to watch it.
Well, I beg to differ, man. I beg to differ. You know, I do. You say you got to have good-looking cops or no one's going to want to watch it. I don't understand that at all. I think people appreciate more than anything. Look, people watched The Sopranos, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Sopranos, you tell me there's, you know, they had maybe the odd woman looked fantastic on that show, but for the most part, everybody on that show was ugly as hell.
Oh, man, that's not true, man.
Tell me somebody who was good looking on that show.
What about that Adriana?
That's one. Next.
Well, I mean, they're criminals.
Okay, and even the cops. Look, the point that I'm making here, they're criminals. So what, people are saying what? Well, they're criminals. And the cops have got to be handsome? I don't understand that. People are not that discerning and discriminating to say, oh, well, criminals need to be ugly, but cops have got to be really handsome. Huh? People want reality with their criminals, but they don't want reality with their cops? Or are you saying that people don't want any reality at all, so all the criminals have got to be ugly?
That's what I'm saying. If people don't want no reality at all criminals got to be ugly.
Well, if people don't want any reality at all, then Sopranos is not their show, because Sopranos had nothing but reality in it.
Well, what kind of reality are we talking about?
The violence. You know, the violence. It seems like they obviously had covered the Cosa Nostra or mafia culture pretty well. But just the violence of the people involved itself was so palpable and palpable. It was right there in front of you. It was real, and it was very... it was jarring, and it was realistic, and it was compelling. Now, this Wire... I've never seen a show with a bigger buildup and a bigger disappointment than watching that thing. And I say that with all due respect. You cannot trust the word of mouth, because people are going to tell you something is, oh, it's the greatest thing you ever saw in your life. Have you seen The Wire? Have you seen, and, you know, and it wasn't.
What other show are you talking about?
I don't know, man. I mean, if you hang around the people I hang around on Twitter, you'd swear this Downton Abbey is the greatest thing that's ever happened to television. It's a British-made show about some bloody period in the past. Now, the British do that with television. They're always making TV shows about their past because they've got a very impressive past. They got a lot of material, you know.
Yeah, they're always making TV show about a queen or something.
Yeah, what about that one they did about that one king?
You mean Henry VIII?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one king.
Well, I don't know, man. What... He was a king, right?
Henry VIII, yeah, he was a king, I think. Yeah, he was like one of the most famous kings that England's ever had. Yeah, they're making TV shows about that guy. You mean it's called The Tudors, is that it?
Yeah, yeah, but that one king they got.
Yeah, he was a Tudor.
What's that mean?
It's like the House of Tudor, the House of Windsor. These are family names, and the lineage extends from that until the lineage is no longer that lineage, then it becomes something else. I don't know how it works, man. You're asking the wrong guy. But the fact is, there's been a lot of different ones down to the history of England. So along come these Tudors.
As opposed to four-door.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, high-five each other later, okay, as opposed to four-door. you know what, bud? You're sounding more and more like that Billy Wells guy that...
Yeah, I'm saying that. That guy's a real man. That sounds like he was born with his brain outside of his skull.
Yeah, that Billy Wells is whack.
Well, you sound a lot like him, born with his brain outside his skull. That's disgusting.
That's a real condition.
Okay, well, great. Then you should not make a joke out of it, okay, Robert?
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I was going to say, my aunt, she watched that show Downton Abbey, and she watched that Tudors, that one about Henry VIII.
Your Aunt Mavis.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, some people are into that, man. I'm telling you, but the whole point that I'm trying to make here is that show, that Downton Abbey, was the biggest hit. Oh, man, everybody was talking about it that I knew. Now, probably the people that are listening to our show right now, a talk radio audience in the middle of the night, lots of truck drivers, they wouldn't know Downton Abbey from Abbey whatever the hell, you know.
Sir Abbey Hall.
Right. Who's that one Abbey I was trying to think of?
Hoffman.
Abbey Hoffman. Anyway... So I don't know, but that show was really big, and it's from British TV. Now, here come the Brits. They bring their TV shows over here, and they become smash hits, and if they don't bring them over here, what we do is we license them. That's what American producers do. They license. That's what The Office did. The Office licensed their show from the British producers of the original Office, which is I love that show.
The British one.
I think the British Office is funnier than hell.
Yeah, you know, every time you talk about that, though, man, if anybody listening from the American Office, they're pissed off, probably never want to work with you again.
I don't want anybody to get pissed off at me. I'm just being honest. My audience doesn't... I don't care. I got to be honest with the audience. And the American-made office is fine. It's fine. Steve Carell is a riot. I love him. Love him. I'm just saying, I thought that the British-made one was funnier. But the whole point that I'm making here is that's what they make TV shows out of over there in England. So they got all these shows about their past. They got a show about this king, that king, some crap going on. Who knows? They had a show over there. One of my favorite shows that they did was a show called Danger UXB.
Yeah, you tell me about that. That about a bomb?
Yeah, Danger UXB was about these squads of guys. This is a TV show. It was a weekly TV show in Britain. And it was about the guys that worked in squads in World War II looking for unexploded bombs. That's what Danger UXB meant. Danger, unexploded bomb. And these guys had to go out and find these bombs that had not exploded. They were duds, but they're sitting out there with this explosive in them, and they're going to hurt somebody. So,
how you do a TV show about that?
Well, you're doing it about the guys. You're doing it about the pressures of the job. You're doing it about the pressures of the wartime experience, the pressure of having to defuse a bomb, their home situation, their wives, their girlfriends, what it's like in the army, you know. And it was a very good show. It's a very good show. It's very well done, very well acted, and it was a dramatic, a melodramatic weekly series, you know. But that's what they do over there, and they seem to have in Great Britain an appreciation for good television. Because I'm going to tell you right now, hands down, British TV kicks the crap out of American TV.
Man, that's bullcrap.
Well, I'm just saying over the air.
Why do you think they got something as good as Sopranos?
What do you mean if they got something as good as Sopranos? Yeah, they probably do, but Sopranos is great. But Sopranos, keep in mind, is on a pay channel. It's on an HBO channel. You have to pay extra to get that. I'm talking about the regular over-the-air product in Great Britain. When you talk about a dramatic TV show as opposed to American drama or like that, it's way better.
I disagree. I've seen one show over there. That was the stupidest show I ever saw in my life. It wasn't even interesting or anything.
Which one was it?
Dame Edna.
Dame Edna? That's not...
Dame Edna? Yeah, I saw that too. That Dame Edna. That was weird.
Yeah, it's a guy dressed as a lady.
I understand. That's not a good example. Dame Edna was... First of all, Dame Edna...
Wait a minute, what's your name?
Dame Edna.
You said Edna.
Yeah, you said Eb something.
I said Edna.
Not really. We can play it back if you want.
No, we're not going to play it back. I don't want to hear it again. I said Edna. That's different. That's an Australian actor named Barry Humphreys who went to Britain and did a series of specials. It's a different thing, okay? In fact, Dame Edna was on TV over here.
I never saw it.
Yeah, I missed that one.
It was on in the 80s, okay? So you guys were probably playing, I don't know what, flag football. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Got lots of news, lots of stuff to get through here, of course. What's up with Santorum, man? Has he quit yet? He hasn't? Oh, great. Gingrich? Nope, he hasn't quit either. We got other news here about a lady who has been charged with murder for helping a healthy man commit suicide. She just sort of helped him to the pearly gates. How about that?
Pretty whack, man.
And we'll give you a little bit of a sports rundown, and we'll tell you what else is happening in the world of movies. What flicks are out? What flicks are stiffing? What flick is kicking ass? I can give you a hint. It's called The Hunger Games. How's that for a hint? On the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Robert's aunt, Mavis Leonard, on the line with us. Mavis, dear, the reason why we called you is because Robert had been talking to us about the shows you're watching. Okay, is she...
Hey, Audie.
I'm on right now. Tina, Helen Mirren, Joe.
Okay, dear, we didn't have you on the air. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. I heard my nephew yelling at me. You don't have to yell at me, Robert.
I know. Well, Ms. Leonard, I want to know you're there.
I'm here. Does it sound like I'm someplace else? I'm here.
No, I know that.
Don't yell, fool. You yell, it's going right through my skull.
Yeah, okay. Ms. Leonard, just want to know.
Oh, man. You yell, that's piercing my skull. Oh, it goes through the skull.
All right. Well, this is Phil.
Yes, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good, Mavis. What show are you watching now?
I'm looking at my... I've got my DVD.
Okay, it's a DVD.
You want DVD? What?
Oh, man. Oh, baby, that goes through the skull. Every time you open your mouth, you remind me of your father. A big la-la-la-la-la-la-la. My brother, you know, was this man, Robert's father, you know. He died, had a heart attack, and then come back. Man had a big business, you know.
My dad died of a heart attack.
I'm telling Mr. Henry that. You don't have to repeat it.
I'm sorry to hear that. What happened?
He had a business over here, had a machine shop, you know, and he did all kinds of work over there. He did die of a heart attack one day. I always tell people it's because they sent Robert over to give him lunch, and he finally took one good long look at what this kid was turning out to be and just went, oh, Lord, just, you know, fell over.
That's me, you said, because I got a big head.
You got the biggest head of any man I've ever seen in my life. It's three times the size of your father's head. Abnormally large.
No, I don't see that. I mean, Robert's right in front of me.
His head is abnormally large. That's why, anyway, I tell him that every time he go to sleep on the couch, you know, he fall off the couch. But only his head does. The rest of him stays on the couch.
Yeah, well, that's better than the last time you said all these people come over and spend the night at your house.
All these people come over and spend the night at my house. Just people at my bridge party.
But they're falling off the couch.
They fall, the whole body fall off the couch, not just the head.
Okay, can we just, I don't know.
That's the weirdest thing I ever heard.
Is that that idiot? Is that that idiot?
Yes, ma'am, it's Bud.
You are. You're strictly from hunger, son. Oh, man.
His head ain't that big.
No, his head ain't big, but his head's bent. You got a big head, and he got a head that's caved in.
Okay, I wanted to ask you...
You don't have to yell like Robbie, you know, the two of you guys. You go, okay, it goes through my skull like lightning. It's like a bolt of lightning going through my skull every time I hear you or Robert say something.
What are you talking about, Alan?
Oh!
I'm sorry, is this better?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
What are you watching right now?
I told you, I'm looking at my DVD.
You're looking at a DVD of what?
Are you listening to him looking at a DVD of what? Looking at a DVD of TV show?
What's the name of the TV show?
Oh.
Yeah, what? I'm on TV.
Oh. Ow.
Shut up, Robert. I'll do it, okay? What's the TV show?
Oh. I'm going to start bleeding from the nose. I got to listen to that boy again. He's going to come over here. I know you're spending the night here, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am.
Damn, now I got to get out to Esther Dive In and make sure your head don't fall off the couch.
What is the DVD you're watching?
I'm watching a DVD of Prime Suspect with a Helen Mirren. I love this show so deeply.
Yeah, we're like all them PBS show, a BBC show, too.
I'm telling a man about that.
Well, you like that show, Helen Mirren? Prime Suspect, huh?
Oh, yeah, I love that show. I look at that show. And I also look at that show, Downton Abbey. I like that show, too.
Now, what is that show about?
Oh, it's a wonderful show about all these white people sticking each other in the back, you know. I love that. They're all very wealthy whites, and all they do is shank each other in the back every episode. It's a beautiful thing. I like that show, and then I watch Cat House, and then I go to sleep.
What is Cat House?
That's the one on Cinemax.
Yeah, that's a show on Cinemax about a man on a cat house.
Is that right? I've never heard of that show.
Oh, yeah, it's a good show. This is a real dumbass. He's going to get himself arrested, I know that. Every week I look at that show, Cat House, waiting for this guy to get arrested. He got a whorehouse over there, you know. It's fun. It's very relaxing to watch that.
So those are your favorite shows. Well, we wanted to ask you that because we were talking about these shows tonight. Have you ever seen The Tudors?
No, that's that show Robert Walker. That's a stupid-ass show if ever I've seen one. It got that one man I think is a latent homosexual.
You talk about Maurice Davies.
Oh, will you shut up, please?
Is he he's talking about Martin, what's the guy's name, Reese Davies or something like that?
I don't know what his name is, but he's the one to play King Henry.
Right, I think that's the guy.
That's the most homosexual show I've ever seen. I will not allow myself to see that. I will not allow myself, as a Christian, I'll not look at that show.
And that's the Tudor show, though.
I don't care what it's called. It doesn't make any difference to me. So that's what you call a cabinet or someplace you hang your clothes, Tudor. Or something like that.
I said it sounded like it's four-door.
Tell that kid with a caved-in head to shut up.
You gotta shut up, man. My audience can't take it.
I can't take you either.
And all right, okay, so you're watching the Tudors. Anything else?
I watch the Tudors, and I watch that, I don't know. No, I don't watch the Tudors.
I mean, you're watching Prime Suspect, you watch Downton Abbey. What else?
I watch, I like to see that show they have on EastEnders.
Yeah, the EastEnders, that's an old show.
Is that one of the old British shows?
Yeah, I love that show. All them Cockney people, they sound like a bunch of dumbass. I love them. I like any show where they all sound like dumbasses. But I love the EastEnders because they sound almost as dumb as my nephew. Talking all that mess, you know?
Yeah, they all talking like things like, I'm going to get a spot of tea, like that.
Yeah, that's good. You got to say, I'll go get a spot of tea. Or say, I'm going to go have myself some, here's what he says, I'm going to have some bangers and mash, right? It sounds like that Adele bitch. You ever heard her?
All right, let's not call anybody a bitch.
I'm sorry. Have you ever heard Adele?
Yes, I have.
Did you hear that woman on a Grammy show?
I did, yeah.
Oh, Lord. She sounds like she ought to be pushing a cart down the street someplace over there. That old blimey. Blimey, I won me a Grammy. How about that?
Hey, I won a Grammy. Blimey, I won a Grammy. Hey, I got a pot of tea.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm just doing an Adele impression.
I do the Adele impression. You don't do no Adele impression. I do them all. I got Adele covered here. I'm going to do it for going to have our church social on Sunday, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Adele?
What's that mean?
I mean, are you going to do an impression of her?
Yeah, I'm going to do an impression. I'll get up and say, I want some bangers and mash. I put on my a big white ass, right, you know, because she got a big ass.
All right, well, have fun watching television. We just wanted to check in.
Hey, I'll be home right after the show.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Ha, ha, ha. Good night, Ms. Leonard.
Get your head fixed, son.
Get my hair fixed?
Your head. God, oh, man.
I think we woke her up or something.
No. She's always waiting, walking off the TV. And she got a DVD playing everything. That's why she's walking on the DVD.
She's watching her DVDs. Does she even know what it is she's watching?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes she don't, though.
She just puts those DVDs in and lets it go, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of old people are like that.
Well, all right. Well, thank your aunt when you see her again for the TV review. I really appreciate that. We're going to have, as we push through the remainder of the show tonight, I might mention a couple of the things. I did actually want to mention, do we have Mr. Green coming on, too?
Yeah, we've got Robert Green. Excuse me, I almost threw up.
Yeah, I tasted some throw-up, too.
Well, that's really nice to know. When's Mr. Green? Let's push him to the 45 break.
All right.
Robert Greene coming up from Fraser Foods later on in the hour as well. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show. The story here on Trayvon Martin, the latest story is there's a witness that's come forward, somebody who is a witness that I guess had not been spoken to before by the media. I don't know if this person is unknown to the police. I hope that they're not. I don't like this idea of, oh, we have a new witness. Well, okay, I understand. Where were you before? This is not a situation where I know that the feelings are running high, but I suppose anyone that saw something that would favor George Martin, maybe they're reluctant to come forward. But here is what this George Martin, that guy produced the Beatles.
Yeah, you can shoot anybody.
George Zimmerman, that's the guy I'm talking about. Someone has stepped up reporting to have witnessed last month's... Well, I don't know. Maybe George Martin has shot someone.
Yeah, maybe he was in the Army during a war or something.
Yeah, he'd shoot no kid walking down the street with a Skittle bag.
Well, okay. Someone has stepped up reporting to have witnessed last month's shooting of Trayvon Martin, an unarmed 17-year-old whose death has sparked nationwide controversy. The witness detailed to CNN the Florida incident from what initially sounded like an argument to its fatal conclusion. This is CNN. So this is an individual that has, from this account, at least from the very beginning accounts of this story, has not talked to the police. So right away, I got a problem. You got a risk. You're running more of a risk talking to the media than you do talking to the police. It would have to be, and I'll tell you why. It's because if you talk to the media, you're talking to the media, and the chances of your name being attached to something a lot more exploitive are heightened, I think. If you're talking to the cops and you're giving a statement to the police, people are assuming, well, the guy's got to speak the truth, because the cops are going to sit there and say, tell us the truth, because if you don't, you got a whole lot of hurt coming down on top of you. So if I heard a guy gave a statement to the police and the statement was, let's say, one that favored George Zimmerman, I would have to believe that this guy is speaking as honestly as he can from his witnessing of this thing, his perception of this thing, which is not to say that he saw everything you needed to say, or he saw it from beginning to end, or he saw he was not what he was seeing was out of context. It's just that he's being honest about what he did see. But some guy going to CNN, and a witness has come forward. Really? To who? CNN. Well, that's logical. Why CNN?
Maybe they already talked to the cops.
That's possible. Maybe they already did talk to the cops. In any event, it would have to be starting with hearing voices. This is what this person is saying. With two men or two people on the ground, one on top of each other, the witness who has asked not to be identified, even by gender, told CNN's Anderson Cooper about the 26th incident, February 26th. The witness reported hearing through a closed window voices from an area where residents typically walk their dogs. I thought it was rather loud, but I just shut my window because it had started pouring rain. And then I thought, oh my gosh, who's out there walking their dog in the rain? But the witness did not immediately look outside to see what the commotion was about, according to the account. I went and I did something else, and then I heard the loud voices again, said the witness who reported opening the window. It definitely was a very loud, predominant voice. I couldn't hear the words, but it was like, okay, this is not a regular conversation. This is someone aggressively, you know, yelling at someone. The witness recounted seeing two men on the grass, one on top of the other, and at that point, not looking out the window, I heard the yell for help, one yell for help, and then I heard another excruciating type of yell. That's the one that, if you listen to the 911 call, you hear this howl. and it sounds like it's a howl of pain. It didn't almost sound like help. It just sounded so painful, but I wasn't watching out the window during that. And then the next time I looked out the window, there's the same thing. Two men on the grass, one on top of each other. I couldn't see a lot of movement. It was very dark, but I felt like they were scuffling. And then I heard the gunshots, which to me were more like pops than they were like a bang. It definitely was more than one pop noise, so I don't know if it was an echo or anything else. The witness said the shots were audible as one man was on top of the other, but the witness recalled not having been able to see clearly which man was on top because it was dark. Within a couple of seconds after the shots, one of the men was walking toward where I was watching, and I could see him a little bit clearer. I could see it was a Hispanic man. He didn't appear hurt or anything else. What's this broken nose stuff? You break your nose, and there's at least some redness and swelling, and I don't know, maybe this person couldn't see clearly. How about we see a picture of this guy? I guess the cops don't want to release that either, huh? Well, they didn't arrest him, so they have no mugshot. So we just basically are going on the word of George Zimmerman, what George Zimmerman told the cops. Okay, tell me if I'm saying something wrong here.
Yeah, well, I mean, he said what George Zimmerman said to the cops and what the cops believe George Zimmerman said, and that's it.
Well, who are these? Did they interview any of these witnesses? I got witnesses here that are coming out of the woodwork. Ever since this thing happened or broke in the news, all of a sudden there's all kinds of people that saw this, they saw that, they saw this, they saw that, they saw another guy, they saw another guy. Here's a guy talking to Anderson Cooper. Did the cops talk to these people? You got at least one cop that we know of, because we, you know, this man made a statement, and he made the statement in an affidavit on the night that this happened, saying we should have arrested this guy for manslaughter. You got at least one cop, and he wasn't a patrol officer; he was an investigator. And I'll tell you one other thing too. Just there's only one guy that had a gun that night. There's only one guy that was following another guy that night. There's only one guy that was told by the police dispatcher to stop following that night. And there's only one guy that fired a gun that night because he's the only guy that had a gun that night. Now, I can see how this thing's starting to play out in the minds of the American public. I think for the most part, people are, I shouldn't say, but I think for the most part, a lot of people are seeing this clearly. But I can see where the George Zimmerman faction is beginning to emerge.
You don't know. I mean, the facts aren't all out yet.
Well, what facts are you going to present to me, man, that makes it cool for a guy to shoot another guy who isn't armed? A guy who was told by the cops to lay off, a guy who's got a record of being a complete pain in the ass when it comes to the police, calling in things left, right, and central, a guy who's following a kid, and why? Because the kid's got on a hoodie, because the kid's eating Skittles? I don't know why the hell he's following him. Because he's black? Because he doesn't belong there? What's he doing bothering this guy? See, you know, this guy, Zimmerman, is provoking. Now, some people may say, oh, give me a break, provoking. He's being a good neighbor. No. Oh, I guess. I don't know. This boy belonged there. He was staying with his father. He wasn't an interloper. He wasn't a guy who'd come in from some other... he wasn't walking around in there like he didn't know where he was going and like nobody knew him and like he's lost and he's a stranger. This kid was staying there. So, you know, you can make all kinds of stuff out of this. People can get all kinds of crazy about this. But if you stop and you think, what the hell are we talking about? We're talking about some jackball with a gun. He's got a concealed weapons permit. I'd still like to know why he had that. You know, you have to have, you have to apply for that. To get a concealed weapons permit, at least here in the state of California, in the state of New York, and some other states, I don't know about Florida. I don't know what you got to be or what you got to have to get a concealed weapons permit in Florida, but in a lot of states, you got to have a fairly decent reason. Why is this? To protect police officers. To protect police officers. So the cop isn't coming up on a guy with a concealed weapons permit who shouldn't have one. And a cop's up there on a traffic stop, and this guy's got a gun in his belt because he's got a permit to have that gun in his belt. The next thing you know, you got a dead cop. Why is that? Because this guy got a concealed weapons permit. How come? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he got it in Florida. So what's this jackass got a concealed weapons permit for, Mr. Captain of the Neighborhood Watch? He's already got a record. He's already got an arrest for some altercation with a cop. So this guy's got a mugshot, which is the one that we saw from that arrest, having to do with some altercation or some interaction with a police officer. So this guy Zimmerman, I ain't saying the guy is a bad guy. I'm saying the guy's pretty high strung to be any kind of a neighborhood watch guy, and I damn sure don't think this guy ought to be rolling around at night with the rain coming down in his truck with a gun. Now, according to Robert Zimmerman, who is the brother of George Zimmerman, and I'm not going to be, I don't want to be a cynic here, folks, but, you know, would you please take this with a grain of salt? This is, after all, his brother. His brother, Robert, said that Trayvon Martin said to his brother, George, something to the effect of, you're going to die now or you're going to die tonight, something to that effect. Robert Zimmerman speaking to the Orlando television station WOFL. He continued to beat George. At some point, George pulled his pistol and did what he did. A surveillance video from the... This is the brother speaking. A surveillance video now from the Sanford Police Headquarters the night of the incident raises questions about the description of a beating. It shows Zimmerman, his hands cuffed, exiting a patrol car and being led into the police station. First broadcast by ABC News... The video does not provide close-ups, but also does not show clear signs of injuries on Zimmerman. Sanford, Florida is now a divided city. Joe Oliver, a friend of Zimmerman, said Zimmerman told him he was cleaned up by cops at the scene that night before being taken to the station. Cleaned up by cops. Maybe they gave him a little bit of first aid. Joe Oliver said it was discovered the next day that Zimmerman's nose was broken. The next day. Craig Sonner, George Zimmerman's legal advisor, said Thursday the video does not support or contradict Robert Zimmerman's description. It is very grainy. Sonner also said the injuries Zimmerman said he suffered were later cleaned up. What's later? A police report says Zimmerman was bleeding from the nose and the back of his head when police arrived at the scene of the killing. He was first given aid in the police car. Sonner noted that at one point in the video, an officer appears to be looking at the back of Zimmerman's head. Zimmerman has not been charged. Asked whether Zimmerman's able to leave his home, given the death threats he's received, Oliver said, no, he is not. George Zimmerman's got a busted nose, and he's got scratches to the back of his head, and the other guy's dead from a gunshot wound. Dead from a gunshot from a guy who was following that guy. Following that guy even after the police told him to stop following that guy. Following a guy that wasn't armed. Following a guy that was minding his own business. Following a guy that was on his way back to his house or on his way to the store. Following a guy talking to his girlfriend on a cell phone. And you're going to try to get me to believe that this guy, all of a sudden, a guy being followed by this guy, all of a sudden this guy turned animal and killer and had to be dealt with in a deadly fashion. Poor George Zimmerman. Boy, that poor guy, man. All he was doing was following a guy with his loaded weapon, his concealed weapons permit, and his phone call to the police, and his tailing some dude who is an arm. That's all he was doing. He's fine. It was the other guy, the more dangerous guy, who was armed with the Skittles and the Arizona iced tea, walking, one has to assume, with his back to this guy, on his way home or on his way someplace else. That's the guy we got to be worried about.
I don't get it.
I'm being facetious.
That means he's kidding.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, you know that now, huh?
Yeah.
I'm being sarcastic, man.
Oh.
God. You understand what I'm saying, huh?
Yeah, I'm just saying, man, that kid wasn't doing nothing.
Yeah, he wasn't doing nothing from the standpoint of when we first in our mind's eye see George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin's not doing anything. He's walking, and he's being followed. And we know this from the 911 call. This guy's calling, saying, there's the guy, he's walking, he looks bad, he's this, he's that. Okay, you still follow him? Yeah, I am. Well, I need you to stop doing that. Why was he following the guy? Because he had a hoodie. The kid wasn't armed. Nothing. Now the kid's dead, and somebody is going to get me to believe, just like in a million other incidences in the history of American justice and criminality, somebody's going to try to get me to believe that that kid, unarmed, Skittles, iced tea, and a cell phone, that kid somehow deserved to die. Well, I ain't buying it anymore, folks. I'm not buying that bullcrap anymore, okay? I've heard enough of this stuff. I've heard people twisting it one way and the next. It's happened. If the kid's guilty if you could show me evidence of how that kid deserved to have to be shot and killed that night, I'd be happy to see it. But what I'm hearing tonight, and what I'm hearing in the nights preceding tonight, a whole lot of people doing all kinds of logistical and logical gymnastics about, well, you know, I mean, we don't really what? Maybe the kid turned around and said this. Maybe he said, what are you following me for? Do you consider that an aggressive move?
No.
Is that something he shouldn't have done? I would have. If it was me, said the F word, I'd say, what are you following me for, man? What are you doing? And what's this guy going to say to me now with his concealed weapon? Hey, well, you know, what are you doing around here? What am I doing around here? I live here. I'm staying with my dad. Why don't you bug off, man? Hey, listen, man, you know, I'm just doing my job. You don't know what this guy Zimmerman said to this kid to escalate this thing. He got jumped? Yeah, let me tell you something. If I shot a guy to death and there were no witnesses, I'd say the same thing. Sure, yeah, he jumped me from behind, in fact. Oh, yeah. You know, you're going to say whatever you got to say to make it look like you're the poor, innocent guy. But if some guy is following you, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to say? I'm going to turn around, I'm going to look at that guy and say, what the hell is your problem, man? Why are you following me? Now, what do you think Zimmerman said to him? Mr. Neighborhood Watch, Mr. Captain, Mr. Concealed Weapon. I bet you it wasn't, I'm sorry, sir. I bet you money it wasn't that. I bet you it wasn't, gee, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel bad. I just was, you know, I'll back off. It was probably, so what are you doing here? Oh, we got a break?
Yeah, you got a break.
Oh, sorry. We're going to break.
Been a break.
Thank you. We'll break. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're breaking now.
Truth is our bitch.
Get
Phil Henry Show.
Okay, all right.
Phil Henry Show.
Robert Greene, I think we're going to get Robert Greene on the line here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Bob Greene is the, as you know, CEO at Frazier Foods. In fact, he was the subject of one of our questions last night in our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie competition. Bob, good evening.
Good evening, Phil.
And how do you like being the one of the questions?
I'm very honored to be one of the questions in your Ted's of Beverly Hills contest. Anything to get a little bit of anything to get a little bit of love here for Frazier Food.
Bob, I wanted to ask you about the Mega Millions.
All right.
And the tickets that you guys sell for any one of these lotteries, any of the lotteries that are prevalent across the country or regionally. Gosh knows we have them here in California. We have the larger lotteries that the country takes part in as a country. Tell me about this Mega Millions.
Well, a Mega Millions bill is what is called a multi-state. It is a multi-state jackpot. My understanding is it's at a $540 million. It's a world record for a lottery.
World record.
That is correct, yes. As of Friday, back east, this is Friday here on the West Coast as well, players across the country are wondering if there's a way to guarantee becoming an overnight millionaire or not, so people are buying tickets. Of course, our store is closed now. The odds, by understanding, are now 1 in 176 million.
Does that mean that there are 176 million ticket buyers? Or
no, not necessarily. It means that there's 176 million tickets purchased, I believe, but that doesn't represent 176 million people. There may be fewer people based upon perhaps...
People sharing the...
people sharing the price of a ticket.
Do you know what the odds are of any individual store?
Not really. We've obviously sold our share. I have in the time that we've been here in Buena Park, we've pretty much service a suburban clientele. Our customers are suburban Los Angeles, suburban Orange County people. Generally, they tend to be upper middle class, but we do have the odd homeless person coming in here. And, it would be a shame for a homeless guy to win it only because I'm used to being kind to homeless people, and then all of a sudden the guy that I've been kind to, can buy and sell me. It's a tough one. It's real rough. I call it real rough jail sex.
All right, we got to get going. We'll talk to you later, Bob Green. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, you can go online at philhendryshow.com and pick up your backstage pass so that you can become a part of our BSP family. We thank you all for listening this evening. Until tonight, fare thee well. It's a gas.
Phil Hendry.